Hello and what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Wind Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike of MTGA Wines, and today we are talking about the Napa wine grape market and how it is completely fallen apart. It is a bloodbath out there right now for grape growers in the Napa area, and we are going to be talking all about it. Before we dive into today's episode, a few announcements as usual. Thank you all so much for listening to, sharing, subscribing, rating and reviewing the show. Please continue to do all of those things. It would be hugely helpful to us in getting the episodes out there into the ether, helping with the algorithms and all that good stuff. Please and thank you. Love you guys. Be sure to follow us on all of our social networks. You can find us on the Book of Face, the social network formerly known as Twitter, but we are most active on Instagram and YouTube. That's where you can find more of our updates more often than not. All of those handles are at MTGA Wines. That's where you can find all the good stuff and the happenings that we have going on in the cellar and the vineyards, updates about the show here, all kinds of good stuff. We have a bunch of events this fall. Once we get through the harvest season, we're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to be in Tampa. That's going to be the week of November 11th. We have tickets available for all of those events. Head to our website, mtgawines.com, to snag yours. We only have a couple dozen tickets for each event. We're going to be traveling with a handful of some of our favorite friends and wineries from around the valley. So that will be a ton of fun. We hope that those of you in those locales can make it. We're also going to be back in Missouri in November. The HBIC herself is going to be cruising through Nashville. She's going to be in Dallas, and she's going to be in Austin in October. So stay tuned for our newsletters, for our event updates, and be sure to snag tickets and information on those as they come around. It's going to be an exciting time to be back on the road after the harvest season. It's one of my favorite moments, is to be like, all right, we're done with all the craziness of harvest. Let's get back out there and sling some wine. It's a really great time. Let's see. Are there any other announcements? Oh, yeah, for sure. There's one more. If there are any burning questions that you may have, we, of course, do our monthly question and answer episodes the last week of every month. You can head to, again, to our website, mtgawines.com. Scroll down on the homepage to find the email form. You can submit your questions through the website. You can also slide into our DMs on any of those social networks I mentioned. If there are questions that you want to have answered about the wine industry, winemaking, vineyard management, hospitality, whatever the case is, submit those and we'll try and include them on an episode coming up. Those are always a ton of fun to, you know, keep you guys engaged and keep this a little bit more of a dialogue and like a Discord between the two of us. That way we can, you know, hopefully present like pertinent information that you guys might enjoy. Okay, party people, let's get into this. This question was actually posed during our Grand Cask tasting group. For those that don't know about our Grand Cask program, this is kind of our high-end, kind of top-end Cabernet program. We do a monthly tasting group amongst a few of us. It's a great time to kind of sit down with folks that are a part of that allocation list and just talk shop. We talk about what's going on in the industry. We drink some wine together. It's a great little like happy hour that we do. And a big shout out to Mike, who's out in Raleigh. He posed this question because it's something that he's got his ear to the ground when it comes to the Napa wine scene, which I really appreciate because he keeps me really honest when it comes to kind of the happenings out here, the trends that are happening out here, and it kind of forces me, honestly, to address what are some really interesting conundrums that we face from time to time. We talked a lot about, you know, the popularity of Cabernet Franc and kind of its, you know, rise to fame, but there's only so little of it available. But his question and kind of the topic we got onto as we're going through this tasting group was, you know, he has some great knowledge in that there are a lot of grapes, and I mean tons and tons of grapes available in Napa right now. There's also an outrageous amount of bulk wine available on the market right now. We have not been able to get truly like accurate numbers based on, you know, what is available and who has stuff available. But these are the two numbers that I've kind of heard more often than not. I would probably still take them with a grain of salt. However, they're probably at least in the ballpark. You know, we don't know exactly how big that ballpark is, but based on these numbers, it's pretty crazy. All right, so for those of you that don't kind of know what we're talking about, there are many growers, many farmers in and around Napa, Sonoma, and other wine regions that maybe make a little bit of wine themselves. Maybe they do have their own label, but they sell the overwhelming majority, if not all of their fruit, to other producers like myself. We simply kind of lease those vineyards. We purchase that fruit from other growers because, quite frankly, I can't afford to buy the land that those grapes are planted on. So we basically set up a contract and a lease agreement where we get to utilize that fruit, help, you know, manage the farming to kind of get the, you know, style of grapes that we want out of it for the wines that we want to make. It's a great synergistic relationship. It's definitely kind of lowers the cost burden on us if we're starting a wine business, because all we're doing is paying by the ton. So for every 2,000 pounds that we harvest from that vineyard, we pay a certain rate. Okay. Now, I mentioned the bulk market as well. There's this little thing, actually it's a huge thing, the bulk wine market. This is wine that producers maybe make themselves and they just try and sell it as, in essence, pre-made wine. This is where someone like Dave Finney and the Prisoner Wine Project was immensely successful in pulling together all of these random lots that were, in essence, wines that were already made, blending them together to make it taste great, and then selling it. Of course, the Prisoner has long since left Dave Finney's hands. It's been over a decade, I think, since he sold it. I mean, it's changed hands multiple times since, so I don't know what their production's like these days. It's crazy, though. But you can find pre-made wine pretty dirt cheap on this bulk wine market. Is it the highest quality stuff? Probably not. Are you going to be able to source that same juice consistently every year? Probably not. But if you're looking to kind of bolster your, you know, production a little bit, if you're looking to create kind of that white label brand that you're just trying to like kick out volume of, it's a great way to, you know, obtain some halfway decent juice and do something with it. You can really, really make some wine on a dime. And I say that, you know, kind of in quotations, make, because someone else made it for you. You're, in essence, blending and bottling it. It's a different thing. But there is a marketplace for that. And you can basically have just juice available because you as a producer just aren't going to use it. You know, we're small enough that we typically don't engage with the bulk wine market unless it's someone trying to make like a custom wine project. We've helped folks out with their own programs in that regard. But for our own labels, that's not what we do. We don't play with that juice at all. We make our own stuff from top to bottom so that we can have full control of that whole production chain, right? Makes sense. Okay. There's a little bit of background. Now, let's get into kind of like where those markets have been. And let's talk Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, shall we? Because that's, you know, it's what we're known for. It's the elephant in the room out here. And if you were going to buy 1 ton of Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon, and we're talking 2,000 pounds of grapes, right? You're kind of buying just the raw materials. At the beginning of the year, a grape report comes out. We have to report all this stuff to the state. They give us, you know, a giant list and a giant report that kind of tells us what the average price is in each section of California is. It's a pretty cool report to get every year. And the average price per ton for Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon for 1 ton, 2,000 pounds, was $9,000. It's the first time it had eclipsed the $9,000 mark in history. Kind of crazy. Just to put that into perspective, if you were to the average outside of that, kind of the average in California as a whole, including Napa, because it is a weighted average that they put together for us, it's like $1,800 to $2,000. So, you know, as soon as you cross the county line into Napa, you're paying at least 4X, if not like 4.25X what you would typically be paying if you were just maybe anywhere else in California. So grapes out here are crazy expensive compared to other growing regions. That shouldn't surprise many of you, considering the demand, the cachet, the quality, and everything that Napa kind of holds dear in terms of what we do. But it is a pretty big jump. So if you're wondering why Napa Cabernet can be so much more expensive than, say, Sonoma or Southern Californian Cabernet, there's, you know, reason number one, basically. That's not the whole story, but that's a big part of the story, right? Now, on the bulk wine market, very typically, Napa Valley Cabernet does also command a premium, but this is like leftover juice that producers aren't going to use. So you can typically get it at a pretty good bargain. And that is all sold by the gallon, you know, right? You're not necessarily buying fruit at this point. It's already pre-made wine. But if you were selling your, you know, Napa Cabernet for $65 a gallon, maybe $85 a gallon, that was pretty good and pretty high and a pretty solid price point for that juice. For the last few years, those have kind of been like the standards, right? The Napa Cabernet grape market was somewhere above $8,000 a ton, and the bulk juice, you know, bulk Cabernet market was somewhere in that like $65 to $85. That definitely fluctuates a little bit more by the gallon, just based on demand, based on what's available, and so on, right? Now, to complicate some things. And the reasons why we're seeing kind of this, maybe it's a correction, maybe it's an implosion, we're trying to see what the hell is actually going to happen here. We have had in 2023, last year, a bumper crop, really big yields. People made a lot of wine, which means there's probably a lot of excess out there, which means you see more wine, you know, flooding into that bulk wine market, because the wine's made, but the producers, like us, don't necessarily need all of that juice, right? Those grapes were already purchased, right? Those contracts were already in place. So you saw not a huge impact in 2023 and into 2024 in like the average price per ton, other than that tick up to that, you know, $9,000 mark, right? So those contracts kind of were already set. You kind of see the ripple effect come down the line in terms of grape pricing as you get into the new year. So now in 2024, we're coming off of this really big season where just an absolute crazy amount of wine was made. Yields were up quite a bit. And we have slowing demand. Less wine is being sold in retail shops, in restaurants, and we have less visitors coming to Napa than we've had in a long time, which means not only did you make a shit ton of wine last year, but now you're long on inventory on things like your 2021s or your 2022s. So you have inventory piling up in your warehouse, and the burn rate of getting through that inventory has slowed down. So what happens very typically in kind of this, you know, there's going to be some economist out there or somebody who's way smarter than I am. I'm going to use the wrong terms. I don't care. I'm just going to tell you how it is in my simple little kitty brain that I've got going on here. But you have slowing demand. You have an oversupply, right? Though that is a bad situation to be in for any business, right? You need the demand to work through this big supply. And you've had people kind of ramping up. You had a few really great years post-pandemic. Of course, it was inflated because people were staying at home and you had happy hour starting at 1 p.m. rather than 5 p.m. You could have a glass of wine during your afternoon meeting in your coffee cup and no one would know about it, right? You know, if you're anything like us, I think Brittany and I were going through at least a case of wine a week. And that was after we had an actual cocktail. It was a lot. So we knew, a lot of us knew that, hey, this is going to level out at some point. You know, you're going to see a little bit of a dip, but, you know, it shouldn't be too crazy. It'll just kind of get back to a little bit more of an equilibrium. And you saw that for some businesses. In the latter half of 2022, you saw visitation to Napa fall off. In 2023, it was a slower year for a lot of people as well. Sales kind of dribbled along for some. There were those of us that did pretty well in both of those years, luckily enough. But it kind of made sense, right? Because the world was opening back up. You know, you could travel outside of the continental U.S. again. You could go to Europe. It was a lot easier to get around. So it made sense that people were going elsewhere. They're like, we've been cooped up for a long time. Yeah, we did our Napa thing last year. We're going to Europe this year. Cool. Whatever. You know, it all kind of made sense. We're going to see this little bit of a correction come around. As we've gotten through 2024 and we're getting into, you know, the third quarter here and looking towards the end of the year, that trend has only continued. You've seen a lot of wine businesses that are down bad. You saw Vintage Wine Estates file for Chapter 11. It was just announced that Sobrasia over in Sonoma is closing up their tasting room and they're considering selling because of low tourism and low traffic to their tasting room. There's a lot of things getting shaken up right now. And it includes ourselves. I mean, we are in a tight spot financially. We're doing pretty well considering kind of the grand scheme of things, but all of us are feeling this, right? This is just kind of how it is. So with that kind of trend happening and us kind of waiting to see what happens, we have this oversupply, we have lower demand. And Mike's question was, hey, we see and we hear about this kind of stuff, right? That it's likely that there's going to be an oversupply. There's going to be more wine than what the producers know what to do with. Does that mean, and a lower demand because we're seeing kind of, we've hear that, you know, things are slowing down sales wise. Does that mean you're going to see prices come down when it comes to the wines you're making? Which is an absolutely great question. And my answer is no, because that's not how the U.S. wine market works. You know, typically when you see, you know, pricing fluctuate, it comes from European countries because they're relying on, hey, the good vintages get priced higher, the bad vintages get priced lower. That's kind of how it has worked historically. It's less like that now. But in the U.S., we kind of like the price is the price. You know, we're very lucky that we make great wine pretty much every single year. There are challenging years that come around, but very typically we can kind of work our way around it. So typically our pricing stays a little bit more static and just kind of continues to ratchet up as our costs go up. I want you all to keep in mind that post 2021 and into that supply chain crisis we had in 2022, wineries out here saw the cost of doing business and making their wines go up 30 to 40% in some places. And I'm pretty sure that the overwhelming majority of those of us that saw those price increases did not raise our prices 30 or 40%. So we are playing a little bit of catch up ourselves in trying to mitigate the costs of making wine in 2022 and in 2023. And that is still kind of coming down the pipeline. Because remember, you know, some of this stuff started 2 or 3 years ago when we started making these wines. We've only seen things continue to go up. Shoot, our costs are up another 10 or 15% this year for us. That has not slowed down. So when it comes to like, are you going to see prices take a drop because there's this oversupply, my gut instinct is probably not. That normal retail price is going to stay static because we have to. You know, it's gotten so expensive to make these wines, not just from the fruit costs, but everything else that comes into the realm of like our overhead and how we operate. We are stuck as producers between a rock and a hard place. I'll tell you quite honestly, like there are wines of ours I'm like, I really don't want to have to charge this much for this bottle. But if I don't, you know, our business is officially a sinking ship. Like we can't plug the holes fast enough if we don't take these price adjustments up because it's just gotten so expensive. We've tried to be very, very cautious. We've tried to be very, very reasonable in our price increases. And it's kind of shooting us, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot because we're not adjusting with what, you know, we're having to bear cost-wise. We're trying our best, I promise you. But that's my gut instinct, is that you're not going to see some big correction in terms of the overall pricing of the wine now. But as we go down the line and we maybe see this oversupply continue, you might be able to get some pretty good deals. You know, your high-end producers that sell out, I mean, even small producers like us that typically sell out of our wines, we're probably not going to be doing that because we still have enough demand. We're just trying to keep up with, you know, how much it's costing us to make these wines and stay in business. Those that can afford to really start discounting and kind of chip away at their own margins, you may see some great discount deals. You may see some great wines in Costco or Total Wine that you don't normally see there because these producers want to offload them in a way that kind of hides what they're actually pricing it at. There's a reason why things like Quintessa have ended up in Costco before. It's because they need to get rid of some wine. It's not because it was a great opportunity necessarily. I mean, maybe it was. I mean, they sell, between them and Total Wine, I mean, they both sell more wine than anybody else in the country. So if you're looking to move a lot of volume, you sign up with one of them and yeah, you're going to have to give them a bargain basement deal for them to pick up your wine. But hey, it happens. You got to do what you got to do because sometimes cash in hand is cash in hand, right? So to kind of tie this all together a little bit and to kind of, you know, expand upon Mike's question of are we going to see prices decrease? because I mentioned kind of the oversupply of grapes and the oversupply of that bulk wine, right? And what the cost for buying that gallon of juice or buying that one ton of fruit has been. Just for a quick reminder, that one ton of Cabernet 2000 pounds was going for about $9,000 at the beginning of the year. If you're buying bulk wine, and this is maybe a maybe about 18 months ago, if you're buying bulk wine, bulk Cabernet, you were paying maybe $65 to $85 a gallon. Okay? Those were the numbers. Over the last, you know, a year ago, year and a half ago, that's what we were looking at. If you're trying to buy Napa Cabernet by the ton right now, oh boy, let me just show you. Let me just show you. For those of you that are listening, we're going to a lovely little site called winebusiness.com. They actually have some really great news if you want to keep up with like just the happenings within the wine industry. It's very, very interesting. It's very much like an industry thing. It certainly is not geared towards the consumers such as yourselves. It's kind of our place where we get kind of press releases and updates and things of that nature. But they also have kind of a marketplace here. And this is just a small example of this. There's quite a bit more fruit available and juice available. But we can search for grapes. We can search for the varietal. Let's search for Cabernet Sauvignon. And we can search for Napa County. So we can kind of filter this, hit search. And you'll see it kind of brings up this list of classifieds. This is basically like Craigslist for wine, right? Let's sort by the price. You got a few up here that are kind of sticking towards that average. Three of them to be exact, that are asking for over $10,000 a ton. So even a little bit higher than what the average is. But guess what everyone else is doing? Those top three postings go by the wayside really quick because everything else goes down to 7,500, down to 6,000, down to 5,000, down to 4,500, down to 4,000. You have Cabernet available down here for 2,500 a ton. 75% off. Two-thirds off, 60% off down here. And there are roughly, 40 listings here. So 37 of them are drastically undercutting what the average price for Napa Cabernet has been. There's been a producer, actually it's this one right at the top. You get an email from them almost every day because they have fruit available. They're currently trying to sell their Cabernet for $4,500 a ton, half off of what the average price was last year. You know what they normally price their Cabernet at? About three times that. They typically ask for about $12,000 to $13,000 a ton because I almost worked with them at one point and we had a disagreement about their pricing structure. No harm, no foul. You know, if they think they can get that much for their grapes, that's amazing. Go for it. Have at it. But now they're trying to sell it for $4,500 a ton, half off, because they haven't been able to sell it. They don't have a contract for it. So, crazy times in the wine grape market, right? So, to put that into a little bit of perspective, the number that we're hearing, and this is, again, approximate, there's not really a great way to verify this, but the rumor mill that has been turning is saying that there's roughly like 10,000 tons of fruit available. Not necessarily just Cabernet Sauvignon, but there's roughly 10,000 tons of fruit available in Napa County right now. That was about a month ago I started hearing that rumor, so I'm sure it's changed. I'm sure that's even inflated. I'm sure someone's trying to make like a big clickbait like splash with that number. But when you hear something kind of over and over again, maybe there's some truth to it. 10,000 tons seems like a lot. But there are a lot of grapes that are readily available in Napa right now, which is why you see prices like that just plummeting, right? Now let's talk about the bulk wine market. Because the bulk wine market, as we mentioned, like 65 to 85 for your gallon of Cabernet, that's some high-end Cabernet. But yeah, that's not bad. Right now, if you can sell your gallon of Cabernet for somewhere between like $20 and $35 a gallon, that's probably all you're going to get for it. It's the same as the grape market. You're looking at least half off, if not 75% or, you know, 2/3 off what the pricing has been just a year and a half ago. It's a crazy time to be a grower in this valley, to have a lot of bulk wine available in this valley, because you have spent a boatload of money either growing those grapes or making that wine. And this year might put some people out of business. If we have another year like this, if this year's yields are halfway decent and we have another big year next year, ooh, things are going to get real, real fast for a lot of people. So back to the question at hand. Are we going to see prices decrease in Napa? I'll tell you again, my gut instinct is no. Because you're not going to see it immediately, at least. Remember, if we're talking Napa Cabernet, it's going to be a few years before those wines even come to market, right? So if you see kind of the cost basis of making wine go down significantly, it's not going to happen for at least a couple of years. Because right now, the wines we're releasing still cost so much to make because of that fucking supply chain crisis, because the growers kept raising prices on us year after year after year. The wines that are currently in our cellars from 2023 and back are some of the most expensive wines we've ever made in history. In fact, they are the most expensive wines we've ever made in history in terms of their cost basis. They just are. This kind of correction, maybe, or this reset, or whatever it ends up being, isn't going to ripple through the industry and into, you know, what ends up on a grocery store shelf or a current release through our wine clubs for a couple of years, because it's going to take us a while to make these wines, right? So if prices are going to decrease and we see a correction kind of out there for you all as consumers, it's going to take a while, and them is the ropes. Because we are still working with wines that are outrageously expensive to make. These corrections that are happening right now are like, hey, this, frankly, as a buyer of grapes, I love seeing this because, frankly, and to, you know, put it bluntly, the growers have had us by the balls for the last 15, 20 years. We've only seen our fruit costs go up. From 2021 to 23, fruit costs were up 40% for Napa Cabernet. Like, what in your right mind thinks that that's going to continue? And right now, they're seeing the ramifications of those actions where everybody who can, you know, opt out of a contract is like, cool, see ya, we're good. We don't need your fruit. And now you have people that are used to charging $9,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a ton, selling their grapes for a third of that, a quarter of that, half of that, whatever. You know, it's an interesting time. Now, the bulk wine market, the number that we hear for that is that there's something like 500,000 gallons, a half a million gallons of wine just kind of like readily available on the bulk wine market. It is just flooded right now because of this big year that we had in 2023. And of course, low demand, high supply, prices have plummeted. You know, same, just a different medium, right? It's shaking things up. Shoot, we are having still to this day, as I'm talking right now, in September of 2024, we are still having very intense conversations with some of our growers about this situation and where we are contractually for coming years. Because it's being like, hey, if we're doing you a solid this year, we want to know that we're going to be, you know, seeing that on the other side somewhere. And it's something that it sucks. I hate doing it. I hate having these tough conversations, but there's no point in paying full price for grapes right now. There just isn't. And if you have a contract that was up in the air or wasn't finalized or that you can opt out of or take the hit on, I mean, shoot, it might be cheaper to do that and then make a wine with a much lower cost basis. You know, it's a crazy time. You know, I think realistically, what we're going to see in terms of the, you know, pricing for you all out there is if we see another slow year in terms of sales, if visitation to Napa continues to dwindle next year into 2025, that's where you all will probably start seeing some deals. You will probably start seeing some producers start discounting their wines. You will start seeing some producers do certain, you know, BOGO offers or specials, or like library wine packs that are at a, you know, pretty advantageous. They're priced competitively. You're going to see some interesting marketing techniques to start moving some wine. You're likely also going to see a lot more wine theoretically hit some of the big retailers, your Costco's, your Total Wines. You're going to see, you know, very competitive pricing out there, theoretically. You know, there are plenty of kind of dumping grounds, so to speak. You know, everything from like your grocery outlet bargain markets to whomever, to cruise ships, to, you know, anything. You might see just a plethora of great wine readily available because producers are going to be trying to offload stock as fast as they possibly can because they're already behind on 21 or 22. They've got 2023, one of the bigger vintages lately, coming down the pipeline and sales are slowing. They've got to move through boxes. They got to move through inventory because they got to make room for more stuff. And in a slowing economy like this, cash is king. If you don't have money in the bank, cash in hand to pay your bills right now, oh, you are not looking good. Shoot. It's really tough. It's really tough. I mean, we've even dipped into kind of what is kind of like the business like emergency fund for ourselves because we know we're going to be all right, but we're kind of in that gap spot where it's like we got great bills coming in. We've had to pay for all of our bottling run. Our wine club hasn't gone out just yet. So, you know, economically, we're just kind of like a week-ish, week and change kind of behind where we need to be in terms of money coming in. And it's like, all right, we just need a little bit of a buffer so we can get to the next week, start processing our wine club. Thank you for all of you that are out there in our wine club supporting us because that is truly what keeps us going. It really, really is. You know, so it's tight. Man, it's just, it's a crazy time. Crazy, crazy time to be in this industry. And I love it. It's weird that I love it, but I do love it because it's about time that we saw a shakeup like this. I'm a firm believer that some of the newer wineries into the fold, some of the growers have not been operating in a great way. It seems like every year it's a little bit more of a cash grab. You have certain growers really skewing the market, selling their tons of grapes for way more than it's worth. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Some of you know who I'm talking about. And it's hurt the grape market. And I think now you're seeing the ramifications of that. And it is my hope, to be honest. This is probably going to be a little cold-blooded, and some of you might not like this, but I hope this happens next year again. I hope that this correction continues into next year. I hope that the businesses that are stable and are solid and solvent are able to continue. Yeah, it's probably going to be tight. You're going to have to be cutting expenses. That belt's going to have to tighten up. You're going to have to find ways to be creative to sell your wine. Absolutely. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind. It's nothing we haven't seen before. We saw this in 08 to 11. All right. You know, it really wasn't that long ago. We know how this works. We know how this works. Okay. This kind of stuff happens. And if you got out over your skis like a vintage wine estate did, then man, yeah, you're in trouble. You're hurting. If you had a pretty slow year in the latter half of 2022, it was a slow year in 23, and it's been a slower year in 24, and you've had that back to back to back with not a lot of improvement and positive outlook, yeah, you're hurting right now. You're hurting right now, and hopefully you can make it through. But I'm firmly of the opinion that there's a lot of things, grapes in particular, in this valley that are inflated. And it's about time we saw a correction like this. It's about time. So we'll see how it actually shakes down. I do hope that you all out there do find some good deals on some wine as a result of this. Very typically, that's what happens in some way, shape, or form, whether that's people discounting current releases in the next year or two, if we start to see a real, you know, if this slowing kind of continues, or maybe there are price adjustments that are made. Because of the lower cost basis for some of these wines from this year. Again, if we're purchasing fruit this year, that means it's going to be a year and a half, two, maybe even 3 years before those wines make it to market. There's a lot of time in between there. We don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. And hopefully that ripples down to you guys. But historically, that's not how the U.S. wine market works. Once the price is set, the price is set. And typically, you're just going to have to wait for a discount. And there are plenty of us that don't discount our wines because we try and offer you a great value for what we're making and what we're providing. Because our wines are super expensive to make. So we try to do a solid where we can. But again, when you've seen the cost of doing business go up 40-ish plus percent in the last like 4 or 5 years, it's tough to decrease prices. It really is. So I don't want to get your hopes up as though you're going to see this big reset in terms of the Napa wine market, because that's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. People say never, I'm saying never. It's not going to happen. But you will probably find some pretty good wines at a pretty good deal somewhere down the line. It might not be from the producers that you absolutely love, and maybe they're not the producers that you're, you know, in the wine club or anything like that, but you'll see some Napa wine that's getting discounted out there. I guarantee it. You know, whether you see it in cost, like we were saying, Costco, Total Wine, whatever the case may be, there's going to be some room to find some pretty good quality stuff at a pretty reasonable price compared to what we're seeing today. Again, I do want to temper kind of the pricing conversation with the fact that we're still working through the most expensive time to be making Napa wine ever. The last 3 years have just been a bloodbath for us in terms of our rising costs. You know, seeing grape prices decrease this rapidly in 1 year is nice. Is that going to trickle down into future years? Are we going to see a bigger reset as time goes on? That's my hope. That's my hope, so I can finally stop raising prices. That would be great. I would love to take a couple of years and just be like, hey, we're good. Like, the margins are solid. You know, we didn't see a big increase in cost this year. We can actually provide wine to you guys without taking a bump up, you know? Yeah, it's been about 2 years since we took a price increase. We've been able to keep it pretty steady. But, you know, I would love not to have to do that every other year, right? And I think a lot of producers think that as well. You know, at a certain point, it's like, gosh, like, how much do we have to spend to stay, you know, to keep the doors open, you know? So I hope that there's this little bit of a reset and that we can get to a point where prices level off for you guys a little bit. I would love to see that. It's going to be a couple of years before we know whether or not that's going to happen. Again, if this is a longer term trend, then yes, we're probably going to see a little bit more of a correction. If this is just a 1 year thing and pricing goes right back to where it was next year and the year after, unfortunately, then nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. It's going to be, you know, business as usual out here. So I hope that all sheds a little bit of light on kind of where we're at, like, business and production wise in terms of the Napa grape market, the bulk wine market, why you all have seen prices go up significantly with a lot of Napa wines, and what the potential impacts are when we see a correction like this in the grape market and the bulk wine market. Again, this is we are in the early days of people figuring this out. I cannot make an honest prediction one way or the other, you know, but my gut is telling me that, you know, if this continues, you'll probably start seeing some good deals on some good wines. If this is a 1 year anomaly and pricing for both grapes and bulk wine reset and just get back to where they were next year, there's probably not going to be any change. The other key factor, though, is do wine sales continue to slow around the country in restaurants, in retail shops, and does visitation to Napa and other wine regions continue to dwindle? If it does, that's going to create some interesting situations, right? Thank you all so much for tuning in. I appreciate you all. Thank you again for subscribing, liking. Please do rate and review the show. Share it with your friends. It's the best way to kind of increase the reach of the show and kind of make sure the algorithm is working for us. Follow us on all of our social networks at MTGA Wines. Again, we're most active on Instagram and YouTube. You can also find us on the Book of Face and the social network formerly known as Twitter, although we're a little bit less active on those. Be sure to submit your questions for the monthly Q&A episode that'll be coming up here shortly. Be sure to check out our list of events that we have on our website. Go to mtjwines.com/shop so you can come out and see us around the country. Subscribe to our mailing list or to our wine club while we're at it. That way you'll get all those updates delivered directly to you in your email inbox, so you'll be in the know when we're out and about. Thank you all so much. Love you guys. Have an excellent rest of your day, week, and we will see you next time on the Wind Up Podcast.